Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org. You can hear the show there anytime, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here, as he almost always is, speaking of the arts. And right now, Bill Hutcheson is here. It is Animal Friday. It's the first Friday of the month, and Bill Hutcheson is here to talk to us about a certain specific breed of mammal known as kitties.
The cat. Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning. Good.
So one of the things, you know, at the shelter, we're primarily dealing with dogs and cats. Lots of other little critters, but primarily everything that comes into us is dogs and cats. And it's about 60% cats, 40% dogs. So, of course, we're constantly hopping and constantly trying to get them into homes and get them taken care of. But one of the harsh realities of the cat world, and, you know, you and I talk about this twice a year. We do dogs versus cats, and we're silly about it. But really, cats are in trouble in our society and certainly in our community in general.
And it's not just their own doing.
It's really not. In fact, I might even posit that it's not at all their own doing. Considering we get 60% cats, about 40% dogs, the RTO, which is the return to owner number, we look at animals in lots and lots of different ways and put lots and lots of different numbers on them to try and get a very accurate picture of what we're dealing with as animal welfare in Santa Fe. So here's a horrifying statistic for you. Year to date, through October of this year, 847 dogs got claimed by their owners. That's a pretty good number, right? Seems like a lot of people.
Just at the shelter?
Just at the shelter.
That's a lot.
And Santa Fe actually is an anomaly in the nation. It has we have one of the highest return to owner rates for dogs in the country. It's monumental. I mean, people lose their dogs, they go crazy. Believe me, I've seen it. They go nuts looking for them. There's posters. There's pretty much everything.
There's emails.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody who's an animal lover has been on the email list of somebody who's lost a dog who's just desperately trying to find them. Pretty much everything except skywriting and billboards, although I won't be surprised if it happens. So 847 dogs. Guess how many cats were claimed by their owners in the same amount of time?
How many?
90. 90.
And how many did you have just as many coming in?
Oh, absolutely.
Stray cats?
Absolutely. More stray cats than ever.
How many of them were really owned? Can you tell?
That's a great question. It's one of the first questions we get. And absolutely, you can tell. You can almost tell a little easier than you can sometimes with dogs. Most dogs, of course, are owned because we tend not to have truly feral dogs, truly wild, never been touched by human hands in Santa Fe. Often they're runners or maybe a little unsocialized, but not feral. And certainly we have feral cats, and there's a certain number that come in. But we get cats, great cats, who have great coats. They've been well taken care of. They're spayed or neutered. Often they'll have a little collar with a bell. No tags, of course. So if the percentages break down that 60% of the animals coming in are cats and 40% are dogs, then with about 847 dogs being reclaimed, we should have, say, 900 and something cats being reclaimed. But it simply doesn't work that way.
Wow.
So when we talk about our cat crisis in Santa Fe, I fear sometimes it starts to ring a little hollow because it's hard to know what the picture really is for cats in Santa Fe. Well, there's the picture. 60% of the animals coming into the shelter are cats, and 10% of the number of dogs as cats are going back out into the homes.
Well, cats don't have loving owners?
This, I think, is at the core of the issue with cats. Cats do have loving owners. I love my cats. They're really one of the finest parts of my life. But there does tend to be, I believe, a mindset of greater disposability toward the cats in our lives. When folks lose cats, I fear that often the response is, well, maybe he's gone to live somewhere else, or he's got eaten by a coyote, or he's been eaten by an owl, all of which are possibilities. But the reality is, they're often at the shelter. We keep files of lost cats versus lost dogs. The lost dog file, very, very thick. The lost cat file, very, very thin. So this is something that we're going to be really working on in 2010. When you really start looking at the numbers and how this breaks down for the poor cats, you're just absolutely ethically compelled to do something. So we have a number of programs we're rolling out. One of the first ones is out already. It's thanks to an anonymous donor who has pledged $1,500 a month for the ongoing future to help us spay and neuter cats. So that's going to be the first step. The first problem is lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of cats. So it's very easy, say, if you lose a cat, to go down to Walmart or stand in front of one of the big box stores and wait until somebody rolls up with their box of free kittens. But we want to reduce the numbers of boxes of free kittens. So for a $10 copay, you can take advantage of the Moving Forward for Felines Fund, which is the first step in this overarching project on trying to reprivilege the cat in our community and just try and save them from this really terrible, terrible vortex of disposability they seem to have fallen into.
I've met so many people who say, oh yeah, my cat was eaten by a coyote, and maybe it wasn't. It never occurred to me that it wasn't.
So much of the time, it's just not the case. Cats are, there's a lot of debate about this, but cats are, they're either not truly domestic or they're not domestic in the same way we think of dogs domestically. They're pretty good at surviving on their own, as you can see from the many feral cat colonies throughout Santa Fe. But the reality is, a lot of them, really, really sweet, dear, tender cats, eager and ready to connect with people, end up at the shelter and never get looked for. And it's really, it becomes a very painful thing to see after a while. And I think that enduring that feeling of how many cats who have been in really loving homes, who have a bed somewhere and a bowl that's their very own and a brand of cat food that they like and somebody that feeds them every morning, for some reason that doesn't seem to hit often the same chord for cat owners as it does for dog owners.
With great respect, why don't they just go home? Do they really not know where they live?
That's a good question. I don't always know. I think sometimes they get too far away to find their way back. And let me actually back up. I said something about cat owners. There are tons and tons and tons of cat owners in our city who are absolutely devoted to their cats and would risk life and limb and spend every dollar they had to find their missing cat. But the sad reality is it's a far, far, far smaller percentage than of dog owners who are similarly minded. So I think cats, a lot of different things can happen, both dogs and cats. I think sometimes they get picked up by well-meaning people. And then, of course, you can keep a dog a little more easily in your car, say if you're trying to get it to your home to call the shelter or something. You open the door if you have a cat in the same situation, and you've sort of messed things up a little bit. You've transported the cat X number of miles away from its home. It probably wasn't watching where you were driving. And cats have very, very bad luck hailing taxi cabs in this town. I don't know if there's some kind of racial feline prejudice that taxi cabs won't pick up cats. Maybe it's because they have no money. I don't know.
Well, it's harder for them to stash $20 bills in their collars than
it is true. The collars are much smaller. And as we've all seen, 20s are a sizable piece of paper. But there, I don't know all the reasons, and it's impossible to find out. And unfortunately, the cats simply aren't telling. But between this Moving Forward for Felines Fund to do spay-neuter, between we're going to have our very first cat show, our very first shelter cat show early next year, probably in the spring sometime, and a number of other programs, which I'm not going to tell you about now, but you'll be the first to hear about them. We're really working hard to reprivilege the feline. They're not dog junior. They're not dog light. They're their own species, and they really have very particular personalities and needs, as we've seen from our special cat advocates who've come on here. It is very reasonable to have the same passion for cats.
And if you're not allergic to them, they are really, in a way, easier pets than dogs because you never have to walk them, and they cuddle up. If you've got the right cat, it'll cuddle up and purr with you, and it teaches you the values of comfort and relaxation.
Absolutely. They provide a very particular kind of companionship, cats do. And I think it is sometimes their independence, their tendency toward a greater independence than dogs, that becomes their enemy sometimes. Well, cats can take care of themselves, I think, is an unconscious way of thinking about it. Cats can take care of themselves, or he wandered off, he'll be okay. Cats are good at surviving on their own.
Well, they are good at surviving on their own. I mean, as we've discussed on this show, our houses are an ecological niche for them.
And absolutely.
If, you know, when the rapture comes, they'll be fine, including all your little house cats.
They'll be fine in a sense. They'll certainly be finer than dogs. But I think having seen the kind of things that happen to cats who are out and about, cats are better at surviving out in the community, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily good at surviving out in the community. I think it's a lot like saying certain personality types are good at being homeless. Certain personality types may be able to endure the difficulties of homelessness better, but I don't think that, on the whole, I don't know that cats who have been in homes particularly enjoy being without that home anymore.
Well, enjoyment is one thing, but survival is another. And
absolutely.
My three small dogs will be literally meat within a couple of days of the apocalypse, but most cats probably won't.
Yep. Until the apocalypse, thankfully, we can do better than survival. We can really keep working with cats to peak survival and go all the way to thriving. And
I'm sorry about this apocalypse conversation. I've been reading Margaret Atwood's new book.
We were talking a little
She's
bit about
be
the apocalypse
the next
before
week.
before we came on the air as well. And strangely, it has been coming up in a lot of my conversations. I'm not sure if it's the economic decline that fuels such frightening thoughts. But yes, I think after the apocalypse, cats will be doing better. Until then, I think we as humans need to do better. And really, I think changing that attitude of disposability. And it's not like dogs are free from that unpleasant lens, but really cats are suffering the worst. And when I pulled these numbers to come in and talk this morning, to really see that, 847 dogs reclaimed by loving owners, 90 cats, when we've had literally thousands of cats. So there's a huge burden on the shelter to find homes for all these cats. It's a huge burden on animal control, who is picking up these cats, bringing them in, and they also are in the same fervent hopes that somebody will come for them. And the people who care for our cats at the shelter are not rewarded quite the same way as the people who care for the dogs. The people who care for the dogs get to see several dogs go home every single day. 847 dogs, 10 months, that's 84.7 dogs a month going home. Just shy of 3 a day. Makes you feel really, really good.
Yeah.
90
it's like
cats in
Hallmark,
10 months.
Hallmark moments.
Exactly. So we're sending 9 cats a month back to their homes. And, you know, we do a lot to get them home. We put every picture of every lost animal up on our website for people to peruse. You can come in, take a look at the cats. You can fill out a lost report for your cat. But still, it's really just a tiny, tiny percentage of the attention paid to dogs. So with all these things in mind, we're going to do our best to try and privilege cats. And I would encourage folks in the community to really, I know how silly this is going to sound to some people who are not animal people, but you got to look inside your heart and figure out why perhaps we might view cats a little differently than we view dogs, when indeed they provide us with much of the same love, much of the same companionship, in a very feline flavor. But it doesn't change the fact that we have chosen to partner with one another and have some obligations as a result.
I think, the message that I think is also extremely important here is that your cat's not dead. Your cat is at the shelter. I mean, a lot of people are heartbroken when their cat leaves, but unless they leave, I live in the city. There's not very many coyotes in my neighborhood, shall we say, but people who live even just a little tiny bit outside of south of the highway or on the west side or the east side, anywhere.
Certainly
they always,
throughout the county.
They are assuming that that their cat is dead when it may well not
it
be.
It really very, very often is not. And I think, I don't know what that's about. Sometimes I wonder if it's an easier way to make peace with the cat's absence. But when I see the number of people that come looking for their dogs, again, versus the number of people that come looking for their cats, it becomes very clear that it's really not an issue about the cats. It's an issue about the way we view the cats and the picture that cats have in our lives as companion animals.
What is the rate of microchipping and licensing dogs versus cats?
That's a very, very good question. It's very small. In the city, both cats and dogs are required to be licensed. In the county, the county does not require licenses for cats, so 0% in the county, and a very, very small percentage. There are tons and tons of quote-unquote illegal, unlicensed cats in the city, and good folks, they don't necessarily know. Microchips, even fewer. Very, very few people microchip their cats. But almost every shelter, most veterinarian offices have a chip scanner. We scan every animal that comes into our shelter, every single animal without fail. Tons of dogs. We find tons of dogs owners who have had their dogs chipped. Very, 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 very seldomly. I can think of once in the last year or so that we've had a cat who was chipped. You can get chips very, very inexpensively. Your veterinarian can do it for you. The shelter wellness clinic can do it for you very cheaply. There are lots of things you can do to help your cat get home. We have a saying at the shelter, lost pets come here, do you? And I think people often just don't think to look, that once the cat's gone, you wait a few days for it to come back, because we get used to cats doing that. Well, cats come back. They leave and they come back. And when they don't come back, we do inhabit that spirit of resignation a little too quickly sometimes. And I think that it's really important for us to really, really, really rethink that. If there is a creature that we share our lives with, that we view with that kind of disposability, it says something about us that we need to fix.
We're talking to Bill Hutchison from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. So, as a cat owner, have you ever lost a cat?
I have, and it's very, very sad. And it was in the years before. I haven't lost a cat since I've been working at the shelter, which is about 7 years. It was about 9 years ago, just after I had moved back to Santa Fe, and I was living out in Chimayo, and I lost my cat, and I thought, well, it was exactly the same mindset. And I think this is why I feel such a sense of personal urgency, because I feel convicted by my own actions in the way I've viewed cats in the past. My cat was gone. I lived in Chimayo. I thought, well, he's probably been eaten by one of the Chimayo chows or a coyote or some other terrible fate has befallen him. But I didn't look that hard. You know, I put something outside. I put the bed outside that smelled like him and some cat food, and he just didn't come home. He just didn't ever come home, and I just kind of forgot about him. And that's a really terrible thing to admit, especially somebody who has worked at the shelter for such a long time. But it's really not... I really understand how that happens. We don't mean to view cats as second-class pet citizens. We don't mean to marginalize them and care about them less. But for some reason, there is that tendency. We do privilege dogs. Probably for some deep psychological reasons.
Well, dogs are more domesticated, and they are a bit more dependent.
It's a much more symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, and therefore you pretty much know that your dog is not going to be okay, and that he's going to be somewhere where he's not necessarily wanted, whereas a cat might just sort of slink around for days or for the rest of its life and kind of make it.
It's true that your cat will survive longer if it runs away from your home than your dog will on the average. But I think really one of the things that guides us is not about how well can they survive, but how much suffering is there in the animal.
There are quite a lot of people in Santa Fe, I think, who, when their pet goes missing, call so-called animal communicators. And I've heard people say, oh, well, the animal communicator told me that my cat had been eaten by a coyote. You know, as a backup, that person might just have gotten their wires crossed or something. Call
yes.
the shelter anyway.
If there is even the slightest chance that the most accomplished animal communicator has, rather than just tapping into your cat's fate, say just perhaps tapped into your cat's nightmares or worst fears, and is just envisioning the cat's fear of being eaten by a coyote, then yes, indeed, please call the shelter. I don't mean to disparage any of our fine and good-hearted animal communicators in Santa Fe, but please, please come look for your cats if they've gone missing. We're really good at taking care of them until people come, and it makes us sad when people don't come to the shelter to find them. It makes the cats pretty sad, too.
I bet. Those cat condos, cat colonies, cat rooms that you have over there?
They're all lovely, but they're not, for any cat who's been in a home, they're just not the same as it is to be in their wonderful, comfortable home.
Just out of curiosity, are any of those animal communicators worth their salt that you've found?
I only know one, Karen Waters. She used to work at the shelter, and I'm terribly, terribly fond of Karen. I don't really know very many other animal communicators in town, but a lot of folks in and around the shelter have said very positive things, and I can say very honestly that I've never heard anybody say a negative thing about any of our local animal communicators. Can you see how deftly I'm dancing around this issue?
Yeah, well, I just want to know if it's real.
I don't know. I am a skeptic at heart, but I am a hopeful and optimistic skeptic.
You are also an employee at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, which has certain kitties and puppies up for adoption.
Yes, we do. We have some really wonderful. There's a pair right now, and I've completely blanked on their name, but it's a boxer and a Jack Russell Terrier. They have lived together for 8 years, and are out of necessity now with us at the shelter. We are really trying to find them a home together. They are two of the sweetest animals, and they are very, very bonded. It is clear
that's cuteness right there, those two breeds.
The big, sloppy boxer really, really needs the Jack Russell. It's clear that the Jack Russell is the leader of the bunch. And they need to stay together. So if you have room in your home for a big dog and a little dog who have unbelievable personalities, who are completely devoted to each other and very eager to be devoted to you, please come visit us. And we have lots, sadly, and lots and lots and lots of cats. So whatever your predilection is, long-haired orange tabby, short-haired tuxedo, a calico, a tortie, I guarantee you that we've got your kitty.
Tuxedo.
Tuxedo. It's a fine-looking black and white cat, the penguin of the cat world.
And you don't have to keep the names that the Santa Fe Animal Shelter puts on the animals.
No, if you really are inclined to give your cat a good name or dog, call an animal communicator, have them ask your dog or cat what their secret animal name is, and then...
what their power name is.
That's right. Then make a little Hello, My Name Is name tag for it and slap it on the chest of your kitty. If you are inclined to take advantage of our Moving Forward for Felines spay-neuter $10 copay program, you can call our clinic for an appointment at 474-6422. They'll also do microchipping and inexpensive vaccinations. It's a limited funds each month, so call soon and get your name on there. And please think very deeply about how you view cats in our community and our obligations to the animals we have made our companions.
Bill Hutchison is here the first Friday of every month. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is here. Please stay tuned. And just as an addendum to our previous segment, a listener wrote in or called in and asked if the Santa Fe Animal Shelter euthanizes healthy cats, and the answer to that is no. They have not done so for many years. Robert Knott is with us here, speaking of the arts. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the daily paper, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's also the education beat writer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me, and I'm slowly working my way over to doing more and more education. It's very exciting. And we'll be probably doing less and less arts writing, but
really?
That doesn't mean no art writing, so don't panic. But I do want to say I'm going to miss Craig Smith, who left the Pasatiempo this week after 19 years.
I know.
To work at the Santa Fe Concert Association.
But I heard he's still going to be freelancing.
He'll freelance for us, and we'll still have his byline in there, but honestly, it won't be the same. He's been great.
Yeah, he's a very good writer and a great guy.
Yeah, so you'll see... his byline still, and he's written some stories in advance for the next few weeks. So, is this the weekend of Jim Hightower?
Jim Hightower, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night at 7?
At 7 at Collected Works Bookstore.
And that's a benefit for KSFR.
It is indeed. And there's a reception, I guess, afterwards. And if you want tickets to that, you can call Linda at 428-1379. But either way, you can come tomorrow night to the bookstore at 7 o'clock. Collected Works Bookstore is on the corner of Water and Galisteo in Santa Fe.
And while we're speaking of Collected Works, Jimmy Santiago Baca,
yes,
has his first novel out, A Glass of Water. It got a very favorable review by a freelancer in today's Pasatiempo.
Nice.
And there's a book signing tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works on Galisteo. So head on over. And if you're in the mood for comedy, Tuesday night, 7:30, for those of us who remember, not that you need to remember because they're still working, the Smothers Brothers variety show in the 60s. They are playing at the Lenzik, 7:30 Tuesday night.
The Smothers Brothers.
And Jonathan Richards did a terrific piece on them in today's Pasatiempo. Call 988-1234.
Excellent.
And then let's say you want to learn something about music. How do you listen? Because you don't know what to do. Oliver Prezant, who's music director of the Santa Fe Community Orchestra, is going to be doing, actually he's on the second, I think, of three lectures on the art of listening at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum.
That's a wonderful thing, the art of listening.
It is. It's really, I mean, you can figure it out maybe in dialoguing with people, but to try to figure out how to listen to music. At 6 o'clock Monday, he'll be talking about the structure of melody and an introduction to harmony. And then on the 16th, he'll do themes and transitions. So they're both at the Georgia O'Keeffe Education Annex, 123 Grant Avenue. There is a cost for this, and we don't talk about prices on the KSFR. I'm going to give you a phone number, 946-1039.
just want to do one more announcement about Collected Works Bookstore. This coming Monday, the 9th of November, Jonathan Singer and John Kress, Botanica Magnifica, and The Weeping Goldsmith. It is from 6 to 8 in the evening, a couple of books. Botanica Magnifica, portraits of the world's most extraordinary plants and flowers.
Pretty cool.
One book, not a couple of books.
Tonight is the first Friday Art Walk. It's a beautiful night, and it'd be a good night to get down there on the Palace Avenue, West Palace Arts District. It's been growing and growing, and you've got Charlotte Jackson Fine Art, you've got Manitou Galleries, you've got Chuck Jones Gallery, famous for Peanuts, Bugs Bunny, and Mr. Grinch. You've got Lou Allen Galleries, Wadle Galleries, Patina Gallery, Peterson Coley Gallery. You also get free admission from 5 to 8 at both the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum and the New Mexico Museum of Art. They're all down there in Palace. You can do that, and then I'm not encouraging you to go drinking or anything, but you can. That's from 5 to 7:30. You need to stop somewhere downtown and have a beer afterwards or a burger and make it a nice Friday night. So West Palace Arts District, Friday Art Walk tonight, 5 to 7:30.
Hey, how about this?
Yeah.
Sue Fox Lovett and Campbell Martin acting up at Vanessi. And that is, what, I guess some
6 o'clock tonight,
pretty,
tomorrow.
Pretty cool show tunes.
Yeah, those guys are great. Sue is terrific. And
she's fabulous.
Campbell's great, and they've been teaming up. She's been teaming up with a lot of different people over the years to do these homages to great American composers, and it's just going to be a fun night. Selections from the Great American Songbook, 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, in Vanessi, and you got to pay to get in, and here's a phone number, 982-9966.
Thank you.
You is welcome. Tony Hillerman, what do you know about him?
Tony Hillerman, he was a great mystery writer after being a journalist. And
that's right.
The new book, Tony Hillerman's Landscape, by his daughter, Ann Hillerman, and her husband, Don Strell, a photographer. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're going right exactly where I want you to go.
Go ahead.
Well, I like it when you lead the way.
No, you.
Because I'm shy and nervous and you know exactly.
Yeah, right. You're shy.
Guide me. 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday, Santa Fe Community Convention Center. They will be talking, doing a multimedia presentation about the work. You can call the Lensic. You'll save some money calling in advance. It's going to be a few extra bucks at the door. It will benefit the Santa Fe Public Library. Good cause. Want to read about it? There's a good piece in today's Pasta Tiempo by Craig Smith, actually. It's a really nice piece of Craig's.
And you can look back at the podcast because we had them on. We had her on the air. We had Anna Hillerman on the air earlier this week. I think it was, when was it, Monday? And you can go to Santa Fe Radio. No, it's Tuesday. SantaFeRadioCafe.org.
Cool. What was I going to say? Oh, the Dixon Studio Tour. I've taken that. It's nice. Drive north. North to Dixon. North. Remember that John Wayne movie, North to Alaska? He gets on a big fight with a guy. Anyway, Ernie Kovacs was in that. He was great. Do you know who Ernie Kovacs was?
No.
Good. He's not some famous lecturer that they're going to talk about at St. John's. He didn't get involved with Plato or Aristoteles, Hercules, or any of those other E's guys.
Like that's the only people I've heard of.
Anyway, Ernie Kovacs was a comic innovator on television in the late 50s and early 60s, perhaps best known for his creation of the most delightful musical trio, the Nairobi Trio. Did you ever see these guys perform? You need to Google them. They are wonderful.
The Nairobi Trio? No, never even heard of them.
They are three gorillas, and they wore overcoats and derbies, and one had a cigar and one had a banana, and they played this great German song that you probably know. It goes something like doot, 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 doot. Do, 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 do. Isn't that like a German opera or something?
I don't know.
Anyway, so Ernie Kovacs, which has nothing to do with the rest of this conversation, by the way, that guy was hilarious. And if you see the Nairobi Tree Ball, I bet you could YouTube them. I'm going to go back to work and YouTube them, and then I'll get to work. What the heck was I talking about?
I don't know.
Ernie Kovacs was in North to Alaska with John Wayne. He was the bad guy, but he was never good in movies. He was great on TV.
But what does that have to do with speaking of the arts?
I don't know. I forgot what I was saying. I got excited because of Ernie Kovacs.
All right.
Dixon
here.
Studio Tour. North.
Oh, Dixon
that's
Studio
why.
Tour.
9 to 5 tomorrow and Friday. It's supposed to be nice weather.
It was just simply the word north that got you going?
Well, that can happen sometimes.
Okay, just curious.
Like, you know, if you say form, I start thinking of a woman. And, you know, so, okay. You can go up there tonight for a preview. Check out www.dixonarts.org. I think we have a little brief on it in the calendar today. Dixon Studio Tour, fun time.
Meow Wolf presents Meow. Neon Indian, Monday, November 9th at Corazon at 401 South Guadalupe. Very inexpensive performance. Anybody can afford to go. Opening and closing act is DJ Dirt Girl. And apparently Neon Indian, they have played in Austin, and or they're from Austin and Brooklyn. You can go to myspace.com/neonindian to find out more about them.
Good.
They call it equal parts synthetic nostalgia, dream pop lullaby, and grinding guitar noise.
Dream pop lullaby.
Just saying.
Singing to Mary Charlotte, dream pop lullaby. Because she has three dream pups. So we could be dream pup lullaby, and you'd be interested, right? Because of the dogs?
Yeah.
Because you have dream pups,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Oh, there you go. I knew I could change that.
What about cats? We have underprivileged cats and overprivileged dogs, as we just found out from Bill Hutchison in the first segment.
I know. I heard that. But my cats in my apartment are definitely overprivileged. They want to get up on the refrigerator in the winter. So I have to pick them
can
up.
Can you blame
because
them?
Because they're like 12 years old now. I have to put a pillow up there. Like, they wait for me at the base of the fridge, and they look up. So I have to, like, go in the other room, get some pillows, put the pillows, and then I put them up there. But here's the strangest thing. There's a big basket up there that I keep bananas and potatoes in. So they wait for me to move the bananas and potatoes out so they can get in the basket, even though I've laid out the blanket for them. This is ridiculous. My dogs don't pull this nonsense. Nonetheless, it's
they've
good time to...
They've got you wrapped around their little paws.
They got me wrapped around their paws. Anyway, it is a good time to help animals. We already heard that. And we love animals, especially this time of year. It's getting colder. Be
yes,
good to
we
them.
Do.
Now, when I moved here in 1992, people told me stories. Strange stories. Eerie tales of underground passageways below the plaza. Did you ever hear these tales?
No.
I mean, no. You're so emphatic about it.
I mean, well, gosh, I don't recall hearing any of those tales right now. Maybe I did, but I forget.
Yeah, thank you. That's a little better.
You're it's more like a politician.
Puppy tales. Yes, you're right.
I don't recall.
So what is beneath the city different? Well, guess what? From 1 to 5 on Saturday, 4 hours long, you can take a 4-hour symposium called Beneath the City Different, the Archaeology of Santa Fe Symposium at the New Mexico History Museum on Lincoln Avenue. It's a terrific museum. You gotta pay to get in, but the rumor I hear is that it may be already full. But I'm gonna give you a phone number anyway. You never know. 954-7200. There's gonna be lots of exciting talk. And again, Paul Weideman wrote a good piece about it in today's Positive Sample. So take a look, see. Say what time it is.
8:43. Hey, Ragmade Quilts, a show of 16 quilts made mostly from recycled materials, will be up at the Taos Public Library. Through December 28th, an artist reception on Friday, November 13th. Oh, that's next week. Anyway, that should be fun.
Good. There's some new movies opening this weekend. Paris at CCA. It's one of those stories with a lot of different lives streaming across one another and all coming together in some way. Got a very good review from Bob Benziger in today's Pasta Tempo. Crude, a new documentary. You can imagine what that's about. How native Ecuadorians brought a suit against Chevron in terms of petroleum drilling,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah.
It's got a very good review from Laurel Gladden. Opens at the screen.
That is very important stuff.
It is.
And interesting.
The comedy The Men Who Stare at Goats looks kind of goofy. I'm going to go review it today. It's got George Clooney, Jeff Bridges, Kevin Spacey, supposedly about soldiers who were employed to use psychic abilities on the war. And The Box, which looks like a creepy picture with Cameron Diaz and James Marsden, is a couple who are given a gift of a box, and they get a lot of money with it, but they also have to accept that someone out there will die as a result of accepting it. That's the basic setup. So that's over at DeVargas. And Bright Star is still running at the screen. People say that's great. I haven't seen it. Have you?
No.
That's a great... What's that about?
I mean, I don't recall.
Isn't it about... what's the guy's name? He was a famous poet, and that was his girlfriend. Anyway, you can see how much I know, which isn't very much. Theater-wise, At the Edge of the Village is the Yellow Lantern Theater Company. It's an original show of poetry, dance, and mystical theater. 7 o'clock tonight at the Teatro Paraguas Space on Richards Lane. Got to pay to get in. Call 424-1601. Bat Boy the Musical continues at the Greer Garson John Wekeser Studio Theater, 8 o'clock tonight. 573-6511. And there's a working classroom from Albuquerque who's brought up a drama about New Mexico crypto Jews. It's playing at the James A. Little weekend. A
yes.
Light in My Soul, La Luz en Mi Alma. James A. Little over at the School for the Deaf, 1060 Sorrillos Road. 988-1234. You got to pay for all these events.
And how about the Ballet Russe at the Lenzik tonight?
The Ballet Russe.
High definition ballet from Russia, the Kirov Dance Company. And the way everybody's been going to see all those operas live from the Met, well, I don't think this is live because it would probably be 4 in the morning in Russia. But the it should prove to be some startlingly good ballet. And I think they're recreating, help me out here.
I mean, recreating
the ballet.
They're doing something about Stravinsky and those other guys, the Rites of Spring and all that. It's
a crazy time to
be doing that show. They should do that in April.
Right, but they're recreating the Stravinsky, which has obviously wasn't filmed in its time, but they're doing the best they can. They did the best they can to actually put it together and have it be as close to the original as possible, which is a big deal.
Stravinsky and Nijinsky, that'd be a good pairing. Throw in Klaus Kinski and you really have a show. Hey, Golden Dawn Gallery.
Oh, yeah, the Firebird, the Wedding, and the Rite of Spring. That's what it is. Those are the three R, and it's at 7 tonight.
Spring has just as much a right as any other season to come along. It's the Rite of Winter
R-I-T-E.
To show up.
R-I-T-E. And here's something for our Albuquerque. Well, it's not R-I-G-H-T. For our Albuquerque listeners, the song and the slogan, the PBS video featuring tenor Jerry Hadley, music by Daniel Stephen Crash, will be shown at the Poets Film Festival on Tuesday, November 10th at the Guild Cinema. For more information, 505-255-1848.
Helen Hardin, the late native painter. She passed away in the 80s, I think, of cancer. Changing Woman, A Woman Ahead of Her Time, is a reception tonight, 5 to 8, of her work at the Golden Dawn Gallery, 201 Galisteo Street. The show runs through December 2nd. She was an interesting, vibrant woman who painted some interesting, vibrant works. Take a look at a story in today's PASA about it. Several other art openings today, including Grace over at Warehouse 21. That's sculpture by Gigi Garland. Photos by Memphis Barbie, reception 5 to 8. And Evoke Gallery has paintings by Haley Hessler, reception 5 to 8 through November. A lot of different art openings tonight. Music-wise, let's plug some musicians because they always can use the help.
Yes.
Tonight at Chispa at El Mason, it's the Three Faces of Jazz, 8 to 11 o'clock. At the El Dorado Hotel and Spa, Cesar Bavalet y Tradiciones, Cuban music, 8:30, probably going to be hot to dance to.
Indeed.
El Farol Sabor, I saw them the other night at La Posada, they're terrific, Cuban music, 9:30.
I went over to El Farol the other night and heard them, they're great.
Yeah, they are great, they were in La Posada in the lounge, which is a little tougher to get the sense of dancing to, but man, they were bumping and grinding and making it work.
And check this out, in Albuquerque, this Saturday, tomorrow, hottest dance in northern New Mexico is what they call DJ Edge, spinning salsa, bachata, merengue, and reggaeton at El Rey Theater.
That's pretty good. At Turquoise Trail Bar and Grill, you got Bad Dog Rock, and at Tiny's, you got Felix y Los Gatos. Latin and Gypsy Swing and Blues, 8:30, no cover charge. This is just tonight, quickly, on Saturday.
Do we have the when do we have the Mambo Room?
I don't know, I'm working on it.
Okay.
At the Cowgirl tomorrow, you got Agua Bendita, Latin Pop, 2:30 in the afternoon. Head over there for an afternoon drink. At Embudo Station tomorrow is John Gagan, Jazz, 5:30. Evangelist has the Santa Fe Chili's doing Dixieland Jazz tomorrow at 3, mid-afternoon. You're walking downtown, pop in there, and have a Shirley Temple and hear some good music. And the Ore House tomorrow night has Nino David, Flamenco, 4 to 6 p.m. So there's a lot of afternoon music happenings tomorrow if you want to check some of this stuff out. That goes all through the week. You can always find something. Sunday night, Celebrations has Irish Session with Jerry Carty, Matt Ritchie, Robin Carnes, and Colin McAtherchinchy. Pardon me, I may have mispronounced the last name. 5:30.
And the Mambo Room is happening tomorrow night at the Lodge here in Santa Fe.
Mambo Room, salsa dance party with DJ Abby. You got
DJ
it.
9
o'clock.
9
small
o'clock.
Cover charge before 10. Larger cover charge after 10. Show up at 9:45. Hey, what time it is?
It is 8:50.
Yikes.
We've got lots of time.
Yeah, we do. Wasn't suggesting we did. Sally Denton wrote a book on Helen Cahagan Douglas. I don't think many people remember her. She's one of the premier female politicians in this country in the 50s, 40s and 50s. happened to be the wife of the actor Melvin Douglas, but she lived her own life, had a lot of integrity, stood up to the McCarthy era, and didn't really have much of a chance after that. Her story is told in the book The Pink Lady, The Many Lives of Helen Gehagan Douglas, and there is going to be a Garcia Street Books hosted book signing of this event at 5 o'clock Tuesday in the Santa Fe room of La Fonda Hotel downtown at 100 East San Francisco Street, right on the plaza. Call 986-0151 for details. There's a little write-up on it in the book section of Paso Tiempo today. And on Thursday, we have a lunchtime concert by Peter Pasek, the pianist. 1210.
St. John's.
You got it. It's Junior Common Room. Swinging up there at noon to hear some music. It's free. 984-6070.
Hey, another thing tonight, it's free at Santa Fe Complex. Patrick Maher, double bass player and professor, recognized as one of the world's leading virtuoso soloists and composers for music for the double bass, will be playing at least three new works, Planet Earth and Crystals, and a multi-track live improvisation. Santa Fe Complex is at sfcomplex.org, and once again, it's a free show tonight at 8 o'clock.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Diane Thomas is going to give a lecture Thursday called Growing Up White in the Segregated South. It's a lecture at 7 o'clock at Vista Grande Public Library out in El Dorado. No charge, 466-7323. So Thursday night lecture could be pretty interesting, 7 p.m. free in El Dorado at the Vista Grande Public Library on Avenida Torreon.
And speaking of libraries, the Santa Fe Public Library's Southside branch is hosting the dedication of the Teen Patio in honor of Tony Hillerman. This weekend, in honor of Ann Hillerman's new book, Tony Hillerman's Landscape. And that is at 1:30 on Sunday, November 8th at the Southside Library, and it's, of course, free to the public.
Hey, does the Santa Fe Art Institute have something happening this week?
I believe they do.
What is it?
Let us quickly find out.
Now, while we're doing that, I'm going to do some puppet shadow figures here. I got some socks on my hands, and I'm making them. It's really cute if you could just see it, listeners. You'd really enjoy it. Now they're snuggling in. Listen. Move over and they're kissing each other.
November 13th, they've got something. That's next weekend.
Okay, they can wait. I thought so. I was glad that we brought it up, though. There are, of course, a bunch of museums around town. You should consider going to see them. El Museo Cultural has celebrated the Jewish experience in Latin America and the Caribbean, Voyages to Freedom. This is a poster exhibition by the Anti-Defamation League. They've also got paintings by Beatriz Esban, and they have contemporary retablos by Cristina Ortiz Acosta. These are all at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe. It usually opens at 1 p.m. It's not open every day, but it's open most days. It's over in the rail yard. Call 992-0591. Meanwhile, the Governor's Gallery still has work by the recipients of the 2008 Governor's Awards for Excellence in the Arts through December 4th. Plug in Paso Tiempo because we're one of those people, but there's some other great artwork up there. Swing on up. It's free if you're over on the Roundhouse. Head on over. Museums, come on, Sundays. No charge for New Mexico residents. Go to some of your museums this winter. They're
yes, indeed.
Cool. You got the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture up on Camino Lejo, and the Museum of International Folk Arts up there. The Museum of Spanish Colonial Art is up there, although New Mexico residents have to pay a small fee. It's not as free as the others.
The Wheelwright Museum.
The New Mexico History Museum, Palace of the Governors. There's a lot of great museums happening. And Site Santa Fe, Talking Pictures, group show of multiple video installations running through January. There's a lot of visual art happening, so you know it's a good time of the year when you don't feel like going inside in the autumn because you want to, in the spring you want to walk outside. And I know we have a beautiful weekend here, but start thinking about heading into some of these museums on the weekends.
Here's another music listing. Nacho Mendez on vocals and guitar and Melody Mansour on keyboard. And Chase Morrison on electric cello with guest Matt Vaughn on violin will be at El Farol this Sunday, November 8th from 7 to 10 playing tango and tango milonga music. People can listen and dance. Table reservations are suggested.
Good. And the 2009 Santa Fe Art Auction is happening at the Convention Center this weekend, starting tomorrow at 1:30. I think there's a preview tonight. Check out santafeartauction.com for information.
I just found the information from Santa Fe Art Institute. Yeah. Santa Fe's own minimalist sculptor, I think you talked about this already, didn't you? Susan York will give a lecture on Monday the 9th of November at Tipton Hall. The Memory, Shadow, and Light exhibition will open then the following Friday.
Good. I'm always curious about these things. I know you never want to talk about them, but Allure is having a bra fitting event over the weekend. I just wanted to see if you wanted to mention that.
Hey, this Monday night at 6 o'clock at the Hotel Santa Fe, Southwest Seminars continues its benefit lecture series, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Perspectives on the Environment and the West. And from the Office of Archaeological Studies at the Museum of New Mexico, Dr. Molly Toll will be speaking about New Mexican cuisine, exploring the biological and cultural roots of a regional tradition. And this is all to benefit the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. And you can reach them at 989-9022.
Pretty good. So that's it. A lot of stuff happening. Pick up the Pasta Tempo. You can find out more. We have a great arts calendar put together by Pam Beach and Rob DeWalt, who does it when she's out of town. And
Oh, and guess who's going to be speaking at the Ann Hillerman event, at the Tony Hillerman Landscape event?
What do you mean, guess who's going to be speaking?
Wes Studi.
Oh, that's terrific. He was one of the Navajo detectives in the TV adaptations of Hillerman's mystery novels, like Thief of Time, isn't that one?
And yeah, and he's going to be reading and from Hillerman's books. And he was at that wonderful, he was one of the readers in that wonderful honoring of Tony Hillerman, the Bruce Besser, the
Kate
Besser Memorial Lecture Series.
He's got a very good sense of humor.
Every time
I interview him, he's always very amusing, and I really like him. I believe he's going to be honored by the Santa Fe Film Festival this year, by the way.
I'm not
revealing too much, and I hope that's true. He made a nice little independent picture called The Only Good Indian, and they're going to show it there, and I urge everybody to go see it, and I will remind you of that later. So.
And one more thing. Yeah. In Taos, I'm just trying to include a little bit more because I get these listings from non-Santa Fe events. In Taos, tomorrow, November 7th at 7 o'clock at the Taos Center for the Arts, a reading from Rudolfo Anaya's Bless Me Ultima.
Oh, excellent.
And Levi Romero, let's see. Bless Me Ultima will be read.
Excellent. And don't forget the bra fitting over at Allure over the weekend.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go down and see if I can lend a hand. I'm kind of strapped for anything else to do. So, okay, what time it is?
It is 8:58, and it's time to go, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Robert Knott is with us here just about every Friday, speaking of the arts.
Speaking of the arts.
And we are doing two things at once. We are reachable. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org. My podcast site is santafe.radiocafe.org.
I'll see you next
Stay
week.
Tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team.
So those guys always talk in British?
Thanks to... they talk in British. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today.
I was just asking.
Have a good weekend.
You have a good weekend, too.
Be happy.
I'm going to try to be.
Be peaceful.
Thank you. It's a good way to be right now.
It is indeed. And we will have next week Margaret Atwood on the air. I'm going to record an interview with her in just a little while, and we'll be airing it, I think, on Monday of next week. And also Graham Gibson is, I have done an interview with him, and both of those will be aired next week and possibly the week after. Wild Earth Guardians is doing a benefit where the two of them will be speaking at the Lensic on Tuesday, November 17th, and that should be great fun. Both of them have new books. The Bedside Book of Beasts is fabulous.
My bedside books are a little more erotic, but that sounds good.
Robert, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
All right, I'll see you later this month.
We'll see you later this month. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
God willing, I'll be here. Are we doing the Friday after Thanksgiving?
I don't know yet.
Okay, let me know.
If anybody listens to the radio on the Friday after Thanksgiving, as opposed to being asleep with a kind of post-turkey tryptophan high, email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. I often play a rerun on that day, just in case of the few people who are up, but I figure everybody's sleeping.
You got it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Y adios.
Ciao.